Good morning, friends. Let us begin with a word of prayer as we seek to understand this passage. Our great God and Father, we ask that as we consider your word to us this morning, that you will help us to hold firmly to the name of your Son and to understand his resurrection so that we might experience your generous restoration in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to begin with a question this morning. Do you believe in miracles? Can water be turned into wine? Can the sick be healed? Can the deaf be made to hear and the mute able to speak? Well, the Bible gives us numerous examples of these things, of such miracles. I suppose if you believe in a sovereign, all-powerful creator, a God who can create the sun, the moon, and the stars, separate light from darkness, then obviously he can do the miraculous. Can our creator resurrect people? Now, you're probably assuming that we're talking about the resurrection of the dead. Can God bring people back to life? I want to say that's actually just one form of resurrection. The word resurrection actually comes from the idea of just standing up, of getting up, straightening up. So every time that you're invited this morning to stand and sing together, you're being raised, you're being resurrected. Obviously, if you're paralyzed, it would take a miracle to resurrect you to perfect health again. And if you died again, you'd need an even greater miracle to raise you to life. Do you believe that resurrection is possible? Do you believe in miracles? Well, in today's passage, Peter and John perform a miracle. They call it a sign and a wonder. And this idea of sign and wonder was actually introduced to us last week at the end of Acts 2. Such miracles were the outworking of the apostles' teaching and work in the early church. Do you remember from last week, just look up at chapter 2, verse 42, Luke tells us how the church had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and consequently they expressed it. Verse 33, everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. What does a sign and a wonder actually look like? What were they for? How do they assist in spreading that news about Jesus from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, and through to the ends of the earth? Well, in what must be one of the best-known New Testament stories, thanks to a great old Sunday school song, Luke tells us about a sign and wonder. A sign and wonder, a miracle that results in a resurrection. So I trust you have Acts chapter 3 open in front of you. It'd help if you have it there, because we're going to just work through this passage. And the narrative begins with Peter and John going up to the temple for prayer in the afternoon. And there's this paralyzed man nicely positioned outside the temple. And we read that he's been paralyzed since birth, since his mother's womb. And he's, in chapter 4, we find out he's about 40 years old. It's a terrible condition. A guy is permanently unable to walk. And all he expects, even as Peter and John pass by, is to receive a little bit of money from his begging. However, they don't have what he desires. They don't have silver and gold, but they do have something that he needs. The paralyzed man needs to be resurrected. And they know a name that can make that possible. So verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Sorry, I couldn't resist it. If you don't know that song, you've had a fortunate childhood. So Peter says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter's command is simple. Get up, be resurrected, and walk. And there's no difficult technique involved here. A simple instruction. How is this possible? Well, Peter has told us the source of the power behind this resurrection. It's a name. It is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we'll explore what's in a name in just a moment. Well, for Luke moves straight into describing this resurrection in verse 7. And Peter, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. He resurrected him. And at once his feet and his ankles became strong. Peter resurrects this beggar. This paralyzed man is resurrected to perfect health. His legs, his ankles, his feet are all strengthened. Consequently, verse 8, he jumped up and started to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. It's a beautiful picture now, isn't it? It's a staggering transformation. And this man expresses the greatest transformation in his life by jumping up and going straight into the temple. He is walking and leaping. You can just picture this guy's joy. And he can now join with God's people in the temple, praising God because of the miracle. Have you ever seen a sheep being led out of its stall into the paddocks? It's actually an amazing picture. That little lamb, will, once it gets out, it will be kicking its feet everywhere, jumping up and leaping, full of joy because it's been released from its confines. This paralyzed man had never had the opportunity to walk, and now that the ability is given to him, he is walking, he is leaping, he is praising God. He's restored to full health and is able to enter into the temple complex with new strength in his legs. That is a sign. And we read in verses 9 and 10 why it's a wonder. Everyone saw the man, they knew who he was, and so we read at the end of verse 10, they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. The people in the temple were filled with amazement and they were astonished. They were filled with wonder because they only knew him as the bloke who sat. Do you see that in verse 10? He's the bloke who sat and begged. How might you respond if a person you knew was miraculously healed? Beyond all doubt, a paralyzed person being able to walk again. Wow. I think wonder is the appropriate response if you see something like that. It's so amazing that the crowd starts to gather to observe the transformation in this man. And as the crowd gathered to observe the apostles in Acts 2, so Paul uses this Peter uses the opportunity here to speak to the gathering crowd. And he explains how this resurrection is possible. And he begins with that brilliant question, as Adrian pointed out in his introduction, why do they wonder? Why are they so amazed at what they're seeing? On the one hand, Peter is having a go at their ignorance. We'll see that as he explains in a minute. They were ignorant of what had happened. Yet he also wants to clarify that he and John are not responsible for this miracle. Rather, these people need to know that name. In fact, Peter starts throwing around all these titles and names of this special person. The name of a person who God has done something spectacular. But on the other hand, this man was rejected and ignored by these people. Have a look again at what Peter says in verses 13 to 15. And take note of those names that he mentions. And he begins with names associated with God. So the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Did you know notice the contrasts in that passage? God, who makes promises, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, has glorified his son, his servant, Jesus, by, verse 15, resurrecting him. God has exalted Jesus by resurrecting him. God raised Jesus to life. That is because the people were responsible for betraying him and denying him before Pilate, even though Jesus was about to be released. These people denied the Holy and Righteous One. They betrayed the one who was without sin. They denied the one appointed to bring about justice, to bring about righteousness. And so in a great act of injustice, they got someone who takes a life, a murderer, released. They killed the author of life, the source of life. They couldn't have done it more wrong, could they? But did you get Peter's point here? The people of Jerusalem were doing everything in their power to kill Jesus. However, there is a resurrection. God raised up. He resurrected Jesus from death to life. That is the reality. And they were part of it. You see, there's a difference between a sign and a reality. As you were driving here this morning, you probably saw certain signs on the road. I trust you took notice of them. A sign, for example, for a pedestrian crossing, if you're coming from this direction, you probably saw a roundabout sign. If you come along Windsor Road, I don't know what, you'll see all sorts of signs. Clearways, you're not allowed to park there, whatever. Those signs point out a coming reality on the road. If you see a sign for a roundabout coming along Clines Road, you can expect to come upon a reality, a big chunk of concrete in the road which you'll have to drive around. That's the reality. The resurrection of this paralyzed man is a sign because it points us to a greater reality, the resurrection of Jesus. That's why Peter doesn't point to himself. It's not about him. And that's why he highlights the involvement of the Jews, for they had killed Jesus. The resurrection of this paralyzed man so that he could walk points us to a greater reality, a resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So how is it possible for this paralyzed man to be raised up? Verse 16, by faith in his name. His name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. This man trusted in a name. He relied upon a name. The name of the Holy and Righteous One. The name of the Author of Life. The name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a name of power and authority. And if you know that name, you can know and experience all the benefits of a relationship with the person who holds that name. You need to be in a relationship with the person, know his name, who can give life and who can deal with sin. And this is essentially Peter's point from verse 17. These people were completely ignorant of what they were doing when they denied and betrayed Jesus. However, God had planned that his Christ would suffer. There you go, there's another name. The name of Christ is the name of God's King. Now, however, that they knew that God, what God had planned and the evil that they had committed, the best response is, verse 19, repent and turn back. Now, this might be a slightly difficult concept for most men to grasp, but let me try and explain it. If you are driving the wrong way, often your best option is to do a U-turn. Now, that's difficult for men to comprehend. I know that myself. Let me tell you, yesterday I did a U-turn myself because I had gone the wrong way, and before my wife could say anything, I turned around. That essentially is what repentance is. It is doing a U-turn so that you are turning back towards God. And Peter gives three reasons why it's our best response. So verse 19, so that our sins might be obliterated. Because of his resurrection to life, our sins can be forgiven. Our denial and resurrection of God can be resolved. It can be dealt with. So turn back to God. Rather than continuing to run away from God, we can experience forgiveness from him. We can experience new life, new relationship with God. Secondly, verse 20, so that the seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Do you want to know true rest, true refreshing? Do you want to experience the resurrection to life? Well, the rest and refreshing which Peter speaks of here is the same rest that God experiences when he finishes his creating work. Remember that from Genesis 2? It is the rest that Jesus offers and promises to all those who are weary and burdened. Rest from carrying our guilt and the burden of sin all our lives. When you know the one who has been raised to life, the one who brings justice and freedom from sin, then you can know and experience true rest, true restoration. Now, this rest and restoration, it's our future expectation. We wait for this season of refreshing, because the third reason to repent and trust this name is so that, verse 20 and 21, God may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Another title, the Hebrew form for Christ. Heaven must receive him until the time of restoration of all things. Now, God does not promise us in Scripture that we will experience the same resurrection as this paralyzed man had, back to perfect health. That is merely a sign pointing us towards that greater reality of resurrection to life. But these three things are the promises that we learn from this passage: forgiveness of sins, a time of restoration, and the return of Jesus Christ. Luke will actually mention, for those in your gospel teams who are working through Acts at the moment, you should look out for when there is a resurrection event in a healing of a paralyzed person, because Luke keeps mentioning it throughout these early chapters of his work in Acts. The promise of restoration will only be completed when Jesus returns, when our Messiah, our Christ, and his kingdom is finally consummated. Now is the time for repentance and faith. And if you've chosen not to listen, not to trust in the name of Jesus, then take a note of verse 23. Rather than your sins being obliterated, you will be obliterated. You will not see life. You will not experience God's blessings. And Peter reminds them of this choice we face now at the end of verse 26. There is a reality that we must accept. Verse 26. God raised up his servant, his son, and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. The reality that was presented to these people was that of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to life. And you can see in Acts 4, this teaching really infuriated the Sadducees in the crowd. They denied that reality, even though it was the sign of this reality was leaping and jumping in front of them, praising God. Friends, we are called to trust in a name. It has been extremely sad to hear of Sharon Orr and the young Becky, both needing chemotherapy for cancer. Young Benji Morris is currently suffering great pain as he receives chemo for cancer in Westmead. You might face financial stresses, relationship difficulties, work issues, or some other burden that overwhelms you. We pray to our sovereign Creator, asking that he might do the miraculous for us in these situations. Yet God does not promise to do the miraculous for us every day. Rather, no matter what your situation, God desires for you to trust his Son. Trust the Holy and Righteous One who will deal with all injustice. To rely upon the Author of life. To turn to God in repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We cling to the hope of resurrection, not expecting to see it in our everyday lives, but at the time of restoration, that time of rest, when we will experience true life in Jesus' name. We trust in the name of Jesus as his beloved disciples and friends. Now, Rochelle and I once had a budgie. He was called Herbie. He was a very tame bird, and we taught him all sorts of phrases. And often I would come home and walk in the door, and Herbie would fly into my shoulder and start speaking into my ear. And a lot of the time, it was gobbledygook. But there was one phrase he said surprisingly clearly. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Friends, that needs to be on our lips day to day. Let us live by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, being so persuaded by the resurrection that we will tell everyone, even our budgies, of what we believe. Let us know that joy and that leaping and praising God. Let us confidently say we believe in the resurrection of the dead because we trust in the name of the one who has shown us the way and who will return one day to bring us into eternal life. Let me close in prayer. Our Father, we bring before you now all our stresses, all our worries, and all our fears in this life. Father, we ask that you will give us faith. Help us to rely completely in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has died on the cross so that our sins are forgiven. Help us to turn away from them and live as you desire. Father, help us to look to your Son despite our present sufferings so that we might have hope, that we might know for certain that you will rise us up to life, that we will experience true restoration. that we might be forgiven for our sin. And in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.